This Monday morning on Wake Up With Hope, we'll be making crispy hash browns with Gia and her clan, and we will also have music.
Plus, our friends from Voice of Prophecy will be sharing a devotional thought. We're going to have an exclusive segment on recreation.
Stay with us.
Happy Monday morning, friends, and thank you for joining us today on Wake Up With Hope.
It's another great day here at Wake Up With Hope. We are so excited to be waking up with you and kicking off the week, sharing the hope and love of Jesus.
You know, as the month of November draws to a close, we want to take a moment to highlight that it is National Native American Heritage Month.
Mm-hmm. And we are so grateful for the contributions that Native Americans have made to our country, and we appreciate their dedication.
We sure do. And it's now time to begin our program by taking a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On November 27, 1095, Pope Urban II delivered a speech that would have a profound impact on the Middle Ages, igniting the Crusades by rallying Christians across Europe to wage war against Muslims with the aim of reclaiming the Holy Land. With a resounding cry of Deus Vult, which translates to God wills it, Pope Urban II set in motion a series of events that would shape the course of history and have lasting consequences for both the Christian and Islamic worlds.
You know, friends, the truth is that Christ's message is a message of peace. In fact, the call to nonviolence finds deep-rooted importance in the teachings and examples of Jesus Christ. His message is one of love, forgiveness, and turning the other cheek. The crucifixion of Jesus itself serves as the ultimate example of nonviolence, as he willingly endured suffering rather than responding with violence. In a world of chaos, may we too be found as followers of Christ's example, embodying his teachings of love and peace.
Amen. Amen. Well, who doesn't enjoy a nice warm dish on a cool fall day? Gia and her mini chefs bring us an easy, delicious, and healthy crispy hash brown recipe this morning that is sure to please your taste buds.
Today we're making hash browns.
We are making hash browns, but these are homemade hash browns. We make this at any time, breakfast, lunch or dinner. We love hash browns because these ones are different to the usual ones. The ones you get from like fast food places are full of oil and they've been fried and that oil's been used over and over again. So this is a great recipe for you to make at home, for the kids and for yourself, without all that yucky stuff in it.
Yeah.
Now, I make a sauce to go. This is just the potatoes, and that's about 4 potatoes, and they're just being grated.
And
cashews. So can you pass me the cashews?
I love cashews. I really, really want to
put them in. Okay, there you go. So the cashews are what we make the sauce with. And what else have we got there? We've got onions, but we're not going to put the onions in the bowl. The onions will go in with the potatoes. Here I've got garlic powder, onion powder, and some vegetable stock, just vegetable powder. Okay, and I'll put that in there.
I'll put this in.
Okay, so we just need the water, and we'll just blend that until it's smooth. You might need to blend for a while.
I'll put this in there.
The onions and the potato, just a second. Okay, so what we did is we just blended the sauce which with the cashews and the water and the herbs. Whoa, don't want to get that all over me. And Moses, can you put the onions? We've just got quarter of an onion or however much onion you want. Half an onion, quarter of onion. I love the onions in it. And then we put the sauce on top. It's very thick, so we'll, oh, are you okay?
Okay.
Oh, sorry, did I get you? Oh, from the onion. Oh, okay. Now, can you mix that through?
Mix it.
Yep, mix until all that sauce goes through the potato. And then we're going to spread it thinly. So once you spread it thinly on a tray.
Oh, Can I spread it?
Yeah, you can help me spread it.
I'm gonna spread it.
Okay, spread it thin. So, now we're going to put this in the oven at 200 degrees. We're going to cook it until it's brown, just a golden brown dry tinge on the top. The thinner you do it, probably the better. Okay, thank you, Moses. Thank you. You're getting my hand.
I want to do it.
Thank you. Okay, let's put this in the oven. So there you go. That's what it looks like.
Pie.
It does.
Mushroom and potato pie.
So our hash browns are ready. And it looks awesome. Look how crispy it is looking. Oh, wow. I just can't wait to try this. But I'm actually going to just put it on the kids' plate because as a snack or as for lunch, because it is actually quite filling because it's potato. And there you have it, your hash browns. You can have it for breakfast with your beans. The kids love some baked beans on the side of this with their hash brown. Try it. Let us know what you think. We'll see you next time.
It's now time for music as we meditate on the goodness of God.
It's not what I prayed for. It's not what I wanted. It's not something I understand. My circumstances seem so confusing. I'm placing it all in your hands. Your ways are higher than mine. I want mountains to move, but you want me to climb. So I'm gonna trust will work your will in your time. Your ways are higher than mine. One day I'm sure I will look back and marvel at how you knew best all along. You see from heaven, you know it's the hard times that make my faith steady and strong. Your ways are higher than mine. I want mountains to move.
Here at Wake Up With Hope, we care about your health, and that is why we take the time to bring you practical health tips. And today is no different, as we have a special health news segment right now.
In the headlines today, gout flares cardiovascular risk, physical activity slows cognitive decline, and down on sleep, up on weight. Inflammation is an important risk factor for cardiovascular disease, and gout is a common inflammatory condition that affects 4% of the US population. So, researchers analyzed data in the Clinical Practice Research DataLink database of 15 million people in the UK and found that among people with gout, those who experienced a heart attack, stroke, or other cardiovascular event had a much higher odds of a recent gout flare in the preceding days. This suggests that having a flare of gout is associated with a temporary increase in the risk of cardiovascular events. So be sure to focus on a low inflammation, healthy diet for a few weeks after any flare of gout, and perhaps stay on it long term. Researchers from the Rush Institute for Healthy Aging and the University of California have released a study finding physical activity slows cognitive decline. The study looked at neurofilament light protein levels, which are a marker of nerve fiber damage, and are used to monitor the progression of a wide range of neurological conditions, including Alzheimer's disease. The higher the levels, the more neurological damage. Researchers tracked levels over time in a group of 1,100 adults and found that those who began the study with high levels and were more physically active had slower rates of cognitive decline than those who were relatively inactive. Medium and high physical activity were associated with a 12% and 36% slower rate of cognitive decline, respectively. Those who started the study with low levels of neurofilament light protein and medium physical activity had a 43% slower rate of cognitive decline. So to protect our brains, let's exercise regularly. The Journal of the American College of Cardiology recently published a study out of Mayo Clinic reporting results from an experiment aiming to clarify if sleep deprivation alone, with no other environmental factors, can trigger weight gain. 12 healthy non-obese people completed a 21-day stay as inpatients and included periods where they were limited to 4 hours sleep a night and other times when they were allowed 9 hours sleep a night. The participants were repeatedly measured for calorie consumption, energy expenditure, weight, fat distribution, and circulating biomarkers. With only 4 hours of sleep a night, people ate more calories but did not increase their energy expenditure, resulting in weight gain and a substantial increase in abdominal fat. So next time you need to flatten your tummy, sleep well and be active. I'm Dr. Nerida McKibben, and that's today's health news.
Are you enjoying today's program? Well, inspire someone else and share us with a friend. Or you can visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more inspiring content. And subscribe to our YouTube channel to keep up with us. In just a few moments, we'll be right back with the segment on recreation and today's morning devotional. We'll see you in just a minute. Wake Up With Hope. We'll be right back.
Welcome to a world of creators. Make your own story. Invent yourself. This is what they say. But what are we really creating? Isn't the so-called new more of the same? Aren't we perhaps just reproducing, repeating, and imitating? It takes more than just a crave to create. To make an idea come alive is to give it some of your own life. Creation is a process that takes time, energy, passion, planning. It's art and effort, and ultimately a way of existing beyond self. And that's where copying becomes convenient, and control demands the coercion of creativity. But we have been invited not only to observe, but to collaborate and co-create with the one who is infinite in ideas, power, and resources. We were granted the honor to join hands with the Maker of all things. He entrusted His creation to our care. He expects us to do it. To believe the new creation will bring the annihilation of what was first created is to reject God's work as something good. More than a name or a signature, creations and creatures carry the existence of their creators. And that is precisely what makes them unique, exquisite, precious. So when the essence of the Creator remains unchanged, so will be the nature of His work. God is love, and His creation is an outpouring of this love. Welcome to the world of the Creator. He knows your story from beginning to end. He made you in His own image and invites you to be His partner in the everlasting work of creation.
We pray you're enjoying our program so far and that your day has started off on the right foot as you bask in the love and peace found in Jesus.
And now we have our friends from Voice of Prophecy sharing this morning's devotional thought.
In Acts chapter 17, we find recorded a few of Paul's travels and experiences. The chapter begins with him and his companions arriving at Thessalonica, where he preached to the Jews in the synagogue over a period of 3 Sabbaths. Many of those who heard them believed, including devout Greeks. But not all were persuaded. Some gathered a mob and brought a few of the brethren to the city leaders, accusing them of housing, aiding, and abetting Paul and his team, and charging them with proclaiming another king instead of Caesar. The believers, seeing the danger of the situation, sent Paul and Silas away to Berea during the night. There in Berea, they continued the work as they had done in Thessalonica. Their efforts were better received, many believed. However, when the troublemakers from Thessalonica heard of Paul's work in Berea, they traveled there to resist the work and once again stir trouble. Again, Paul had to move, this time to Athens. In Athens, he found a people who loved to hear of new things and beliefs. After making multiple contacts with those who lived and worked there, he was invited to the Areopagus, where he was given a platform wherewith he could address all with his new strange-to-them doctrine. Acts chapter 17 continues the story. Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious, for as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you." The unknown God. Now that's a phrase that likely resonates with many in our society. There are some who don't believe in God at all. But for those who do, do they know him? Who is God? What is he like? Can he be known? This and many other questions have haunted humanity since the beginning of time here on earth. Many theories about God abound, some positive, others negative, and some far-fetched. In Daniel 2, we find one of these theories in the answer that King Nebuchadnezzar's wise men gave him regarding the knowledge of the gods. In response to the king's demand that they tell him what he dreamt and then give the interpretation, the wise men said, "It is a difficult thing that the king requests, and there is no other who can tell it to the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh." But is that true? Is God's dwelling not with flesh? And as the Athenians stated, is God unknown? Well, a couple of minutes won't let me do justice on the subject, but I do want to go back to the question, if there is a God, who and how can we know him? Practically speaking, getting to know God is not much different than getting to know another person here on earth. The best way to get to know someone is to spend time with them. The more time you spend, the more you talk and share, the more you will get to know each other. When I was getting to know my wife, I spent significant time with her. In fact, at first, I would count the minutes. I was blessed when I spent time with her. Then minutes turned to hours, and eventually to days. With each increase in time, I became more and more excited. Getting to know God is no different. If you want to know Him better, there's only one true way to do that: time. You need to spend time with Him. The more time you spend with Jesus, the more you will know Him. It's really that simple. But you might say, wait a second, it's totally different. When I get to know another person, I can dialogue with them face to face. It's a two-way street. However, when I try to get to know God, He's not physically present, which makes it much more difficult. Okay, yeah, I'll give you that. And I can't say that I haven't felt the same way. However, just because you can't see God does not mean that He isn't there and that you can't get to know Him. In the beginning, Genesis 1 through 3, man and God spoke freely. I imagine they walked the Garden of Eden together and enjoyed each other's company. This was always God's intent. In fact, in Revelation 21, it tells us that one day God will tabernacle with men. In other words, He will live with us. When man sinned, he severed the daily one-on-one, face-to-face relationship with God, resulting in the state we are in today where we can't see God. Notwithstanding, God, in His infinite wisdom, did not leave us without witness. There are two main ways that God communicates with man. First, through the things that we see around us. God's book of nature reveals to us many things concerning Himself. Creation is a language that eternally speaks of the love of God for humanity. Through the voice of the created, we hear compassion, mercy, beauty, intricate detail, infinite power and wisdom, order, and the list goes on and on. In fact, it's hard to stop and smell the roses without thinking of the Creator. What I mean with that is, if we slow down and take in God's creation, the only conclusion we can realistically come to is that there is a God of love. So powerful is the communication from God provided through nature that in Romans 1:20 we read, "For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." The other language that God speaks through is Scripture. The Bible is the main communication channel between God and man. While creation is a powerful communicator, it also suffers from the blight of sin, and therefore does not give a complete and perfect picture of God. To that, we turn to the Holy Word of God. In the pages of the Bible, you will find the knowledge and wisdom of the Creator. By reading the pages of the book, you will be drawn to Him, and you will be changed. It is within these pages that we can understand that the wise men of Babylon were incorrect about God. He is not the God who dwells away from flesh, but instead is the God who took on flesh in order to provide us with a way of escaping death, the penalty of sin. And that's just one lesson we can learn from Scripture. The Bible is God's love message to His creation. It reveals what is really going on in the world and how God is working on fixing it. It unmasks the true enemy of mankind and provides instruction on how we can resist and reject Satan's evil schemes and embrace the salvation that God has so selflessly made available to all those who wish to be saved. And it answers some of life's toughest existential questions, like, who are we? Where did we come from? Is there meaning in life? And where are we going? And not only that, but it tells us who God is and lays out a simple yet detailed plan of getting to know Him. Have you always wanted to get to know God, but haven't had the courage to or haven't known how? Well, here's a quick tip. First, slow down and smell the roses. Get out in nature, enjoy His creation, and see what you can learn about Him from what He's made. And secondly, pick up the Bible and read it. Read the whole thing. Don't worry about going fast. Go at your pace. Read a little at a time. You will find that He will speak to you through His Word. Let me pray with you. Father in heaven, thank You, Father, for Your Word and the fact that You speak to us through it. Father, help us to read the Bible every day so that we can get to know you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you for joining us. Until next time, God bless.
Thank you so much for that inspiring devotional.
And friends, thank you so much for being with us and watching Wake Up with Hope.
Please join us tomorrow morning as Jesus 101 will be with us to share a devotional thought. We will have a dedicated prayer session, and the incredible journey will be back to talk about the Silver City. If you enjoyed today's messages and would like to learn more about the Bible, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
You know, our free Bible study guides are sure to be life-changing. Again, that's hope.study. And before we go, we want to share with you a Bible promise. And today's Bible promise is found in Romans chapter 8, verses 31 and 32.
It says, "What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?"
Ah, beautiful. You know, friends, God gave all of heaven when he gave Jesus. So never, never, ever doubt that you hold anything back that's good for you.
Amen. What a beautiful promise. We pray you enjoyed your time with us today. And from the bottom of our hearts, we wish you a happy Monday.
Let's pray together. Father, what a great way to start this week. We're so thankful for the hope-filled content that we received. Lord, it was so good. And we pray that you would give us courage and inspiration to share with many others, because we live in a world that needs so much hope. And today, Lord, we take the Bible promises to heart. We take the content. Give us ability to put into practice the things we've learned. And again, we thank you for the hope that we can have today as we start not only a new day, but a new week with you. In Jesus' name, amen.